Well, praise the Lord. Thank God for Jesus. Praise God. Thank God for another opportunity, praise God, to come and share with you precious words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is worthy to be praised. And praise God, I'm Pastor James A. Dansby of Great Commission Fellowship here in Birmingham, Alabama. Praise God, on this Saturday, praise God, November the 6th, praise God, Saturday, November the 6th, declaring once again that Christ is the answer. He's the answer to all of our problems. And I admit they are many and they are complex. But my Bible tells me that there's nothing too hard for the Lord, but all things are possible to them that believe. And I do believe. I believe God can do abundantly above everything that we ever could think in our hearts and minds. Praise God, I believe God today. We just need to trust Him today. Praise God, I know we trust Him. Praise God, scientists and government, but now we need to cast all our cares on the Lord because He is truly the only one that truly 100% cares for us. Amen. But now I do have a word. I have a word from the Lord just for you today. We began this series. This is part two. Part two. We began on, I believe, what, Thursday, and part one on Thursday, and this is part two. And I do want to encourage you to go back and listen to one first in order to get the maximum benefits of what God is saying through me to you today. Amen. Praise God. But we're looking again at John 11, 11th chapter of the book of John, beginning at verse number 1. It's just three verses there. And it reads thusly, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary that anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, unto Christ, saying, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Let us pray. Father, we bless you today. Thank you, Lord, for this, another opportunity to lift up your holy name. For you only, Lord, are worthy to be praised. And I pray, Lord, you'll speak through me once again, Lord, that I might communicate to your people your word today. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit anointing might be upon me, upon the hearers today. And Lord, we'll be so mindful. We'll give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, once again, we're going to use that same subject that we started with, praise God, that we took out of that verse number 3 there. Verse 3, where it says, therefore, his sister said unto Christ, sent unto Christ, that is, saying, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And our subject, when a child of God is sick. When a child of God is sick, now in this part two, and we can't do a long intro, praise God, but we're just going to touch on a few things here. Mary and Martha now, here they are, great examples of what a child of God should do when sickness touches our loved ones. Amen? A great example. And that is basically just call on the name of the Lord. Praise God. As I said in our previous lesson, they did not first call the doctors, they called upon their friend. Praise God, that friend that stick closer than a brother, and that's none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They called on him first of all. And again now, we said that sickness is a natural result of sin. Actually, it's a product of sin. That's what sickness is. And in the case of Lazarus, Jesus demonstrated not only, praise God, the his power over sin, but now he also demonstrates his power over death also. Amen. Praise God. See, there were many others in the Bible that Jesus healed, that they he healed them of particular sicknesses that they had, ailments that they had. But now later on, we do know that they still died. He healed them of particular ailments that they had, but later on, they still died. Why did they die? Why, Pastor? Because what? Sin was still in their bodies. Praise God. And that's including Lazarus. As long as sin remains in our bodies, sickness and disease, we will be subject to. We won't be able to get around it. As long as there are even a particle, an element of sin within us, then there's going to be sickness, there's going to be disease, and there is going to be death. No doubt about it. Now, there are many who teach that when we get saved, many different type of ministers will say that when we get saved, we're completely healed. We're healed of all of the effects of sin. And they basically base their beliefs upon a few scriptures that they find in the Word of God. But remember now, you can't just pick out a few scriptures in God's Word and make it say what you want it to say. You got to look at the whole Bible. You got to look at the whole Bible and all the scriptures together to come up with what God is really truly saying. But now, most of these ministers that say that when we are saved, we're completely healed of all the effects of sin, they base their belief on Isaiah 53 and 5. Copy it down. Copy it down if you can't turn to it quickly. Isaiah 53 and 5, where it says, but he was wounded. Talk about Christ now. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. This is one of the scriptures that they base their belief that when you're saved, you're healed of all the effects of sin. But now, another one is Psalms 103. Turn to Psalms 103. 103, they also will quote this scripture in order to give credibility to what they believe as far as healing is concerned. Psalms 103, and look at verse 1 there. And the Lord says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, praise God. Bless the Lord. Verse 2 says, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Now, these are some of the scriptures that they will use to base the belief upon the fact that when we are, they say according to the fact anyway, when we are saved, we are really healed of all of our sin, sickness, of all of the sickness that can come from sin. But now, the Bible don't quite say that. Now, but if their interpretation is really correct, if it's correct, then when we are saved, death would be no more. There would be no more death. If they are correct, there would be no more sickness, no more death. Praise God. No more, no more. Now, so the healing Christ here is speaking of is mainly healing from the power of sin in our lives. I mean, sin shall not have dominion over you. He's talking about being healed from the power of sin as far as having dominion over us, as well as the penalty of sin. And we know what the penalty of sin is, though. We're healed from the penalty of sin when we're saved, and that is hell. Praise God. I mean, hell and damnation, eternal death. We are healed from these things when we get saved. Now, all this is, you know, clearly, when you put all the scripture together, we'll all come to this conclusion. Acts 10:38, it gives us a clear picture of salvation and the effects of salvation. Acts 10:38, it says, Christ went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's what Christ did. But through his death, through our salvation, praise God, we were oppressed and suppressed by the devil. But now we have been healed. He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. Amen? But now, today, in this part two, our subject again now, when a child of God is sick, in this part two, I want to deal with some of the causes of sickness in the believers, praise God, after we are saved. After we're saved. What is it that causes us, praise God, to continue to be sick and to be to die and to suffer? What is it? In the believers now, basically we're talking about the believers right now. And the first thing is when we continue to practice sin. After you've gotten saved, you say you're saved, but now you're still practicing sin. You still are basically living in sin after you have gotten saved, as you say. Now, which actually what you're doing is giving place to the devil rather than resisting the devil. When we, you know, began to live that same lifestyle all over again. But now, in John 8, if you look at John 8 now, John 8 and look at 10 there, we talk about now some of the things that causes us to be sick and to suffer and to even die, continuing to practice sin. Look at John 8, 10 and 11. And it says there, when Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw none but the woman, and he said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? He says, has anybody condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. You go in peace and sin no more. Watch it now. Sin no more. You go in peace. Now, I'm saving you. I'm going to save you. You're saved, but now don't sin no more. When we go and start sinning all over again, living and practicing sin, we open the door for the devil to come in and bring his toolbox full of different sicknesses and diseases, praise God, which if God don't intervene will eventually lead to your demise. Now, look at John 5. Again, now, we look at those sins that that the believers continue to indulge in that brings sickness upon them. John 5:14. It says, after Jesus finding him, talking about the lame man that he healed here, Jesus find him in the temple, and he said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee. Listen now what Jesus said. Now, brother, I'm saving you. I'm delivering you. But now, no more. No more of that. No more. No more living like that. You can't live like that no more. Huh? Lest a worse thing, a worse what? A worse sickness than the one you got had on you. Huh? Lame man. A worse thing come unto thee. That's what Christ says. So now, that's the reason why a lot of believers are suffering sickness, disease. Why? Because they're continuing to live contrary to the Word of God, contrary to who they say they are. Amen? Look at Hebrews 10 then. Hebrews 10, and we're going to look at 26 there. Hebrews 10, 26. Look what Paul says in Hebrews 10, 26. Write it down now. If you can't keep up with me, just jot it down. Come back later on. Praise God. Hebrews 10, 26. Paul says here, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the truth. Remember now, truth is of Christ. Truth is a person. Jesus said, I'm the way and the truth and the life. But now, he said, now, if we sin willfully, after that we have received the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In other words, Christ can do no more than he has already done. Hey, praise God, he's died on the cross. He shed his precious blood that we might be delivered from sin. Praise God. But now, if we willfully, after you say you're saved, you're still dibbling, you're still dabbling, you're still doing the same thing that you used to do, oh boy. You open the door. Look at that verse 27 now, Hebrews 10, 27. Paul says there, but what are you going to get? Paul, tell us what you're going to get now if you're going to continue to sin willfully. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. Now, who are the adversaries at this point? Well, it's you. It's you that continue to sin. Huh? You become an adversary of God because you've chosen to straddle the fence. You want to say you're a believer, but you're still living in sin. Praise God. Well, you've opened the door for sickness. And many are sick at this very moment because of this. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 5. Let's look down a minute. 5. Now, Paul, again, 1 Corinthians 5, look at 1. 1. Paul says, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication as not so much as name. Praise God, these heathens don't live like this. And not even named among the Gentiles, that one shall have his father's wife. He is the son sleeping with his dad. Now, verse 5. Skip on down to 5. Now, 1 Corinthians 5, 5. Skip on down there. Here is the sentence. Here is what's going to happen to that person that lived this immoral lifestyle, deviant. Even the heathens don't practice much of this, he says here. Look at 5 now. Paul said, deliver such a one. This is the sentence. Deliver him to Satan. Deliver him to the devil for the destruction of the flesh, his body. Since his body is out of control, he can't control it. He's deviling, diving into all kind of immorality. Deliver that scoundrel over to the devil, that the spirit of this man may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. So it sounds like this is a saved man that decided that he was gonna, you know, go way contrary to God's word. He said, deliver that scoundrel to Satan, that the devil might destroy him. Praise God. His flesh. How did he do it? Sickness. How did he do it? Sickness. Praise God. The devil. Praise God. His chief weapon that he uses against God's people is to kill, steal, and destroy. Kill. Kill you. Kill your soul, your body. He usually starts with sickness and work his way up to death. And then to steal, kill, steal. What he's stealing there? He's stealing your soul. Praise God, he'll steal your soul and destroy it. Praise God, destroy you in hell, eternally in hell. Now, that's what the Bible says. But now, sadly, many in the church today are living in sin. Many people, yes, living in sin. In the church, coming to church every Sunday or often anyhow, they're sinning against their bodies. Which the Bible says, your body is the temple. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. But they sin, and by doing so, they open themselves up for sickness and disease. Which no doctor, brother. I'm talking about when God allows this, ain't no doctor, ain't no medicine that you can take going to help you. None. It's not going to kill you. See, the answer is to repent of your sins. Praise God. Repent. Ask God for forgiveness. Change course. Change your course of operation. Turn back to the Lord. Walk in his way. Walk in his way. And his way is holiness. Praise God. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. His holiness is a hell. That's actually what it come down to. But now, secondly, another cause. We look at the causes of why the believers, many believers are suffering from sickness even after they gotten saved. And another reason is because of the desecration of the Lord's table. Oh boy, the Lord's table. And let me tell you something. Let me tell you. See, we worry today about the numbers that COVID is racking up here. But COVID can't compare. COVID is nowhere. COVID is Pee Wee League compared to the souls that have died because, or died now, or sick now, right now, because they have desecrated the Lord's table. Look at 1 Corinthians 11. They haven't taken it serious. They haven't taken God's word serious. Praise God. And therefore, they have desecrated the Lord's table. And be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, that shall you also reap. Look at 1 Corinthians 11 now. 11 and look at 29 there. 11 and 29. The apostle says, for he that eat it and drink it unworthily. How about this supper now? Eat and drink damnation to himself. Now, a lot of people hadn't believed that yet. But I know many have been sick and died and are sick and dying right now because they have not taken this seriously. He said, many eat and drink damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body, not seriously considering what this ordinance is about, and that God means what he says, and God says what he means. And the 31 says, for this cause many a week. Why? Many a week. weak that'll come to the table, taking communion. You know you're not living right. You know you're not living right, but you come anyhow. You want to, you think more of what people think than what God going to do to you. And he's doing it. He's doing it. For this called many a weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. He said many people are dead right now. So many people. Do not take these words of the Lord seriously. Again, you think COVID is bad. See, we strain at a gnat and we swallow a camel. We worry about COVID, but now look how many people are dying now and have died because they have desecrated the Lord's table. Therefore, what they've done is invited sickness into their bodies, into their minds. And not only that, praise God, affected generations coming behind them. See, this sacred audience here, the communion, the Lord's Supper, must be approached with holiness of body, holiness of body, holiness of mind. Amen. And not to do so is just basic literally what you're doing. You're inviting the devil. You're telling the devil, here I am, devil. Do to me whatever you decide, whatever's good in your sight, devil. Just come on and just have a buffet. Bring a buffet of your sickness and just dump it in me. Dump it on me. That's what you're basically doing. Praise God. You know, in the past, and like I said, I've been preaching now for 49, ready 50 years, somewhere in the neighborhood. It might be 50. I don't know now. But now, I attended weddings sad to say, I have officiated some weddings where the people that were either organizing it or the groom and the bride wanted to have the Lord's Supper served. Indiscriminately now to everybody, regardless of whether they were saved or whether they were not saved. Which when I really understood what's going on, I refused to even participate and be a part of it. Knowing what, Pastor? Knowing that regardless, knowing that, praise God, one day, in days or years to come, whenever I knew that men of these same people would come down with a deadly disease, a deadly sickness. Praise God. And so it was. I've seen those same people, many of those same people in this span of 49, 50 years. I've seen many of those same people take sick. I've seen them die. I've seen them suffer. Praise God. I have in my lifetime. Why? They desecrated the Lord's table. They did not seriously take. They said they were believers, but they were living contrary to the word of God. Amen. And therefore, praise God, they invited sickness, suffering, and death into their quarters. Many of these same people now have attended healing crusades. The big healing crusades, the big, whether it's this guy or that guy, well, they were promised a miracle of healing in their bodies. They're sick in their bodies. So they go to the crusades, the big tents, and all these different kind of programs. Well, there was no question asked them about salvation. Nothing about their lifestyle. Are you living holy? Nothing about that. Nothing about their unlawful partaking of the Lord's Supper. Oh, nothing was asked about that. No, not at all. To do so, now, if they had done that, these preachers know that. If they done that, it would have lessened the love offering. Been a little slack if you, praise God, for the preachers. If you, they call it badgering people. So, you know, they just open it up to everybody. Jesus said that ain't meet to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs. Oh boy, Jesus, he's selective. He's selective. Praise God. But now, not today though. Many just opened up the whole floor for everybody here. But now actually God, now let me, and I need to say this. I think I need to say this here. God do not send sickness on anybody. God don't. God permits it to come. Satan is the one, listen to me, the devil is the one who directly puts sickness, suffering, and in death, if he's allowed, upon a person. Praise God. And he does that to his own children and also God's children when God permits him to. Praise God. Oh, devil, he's an equal opportunity destroyer. Yes, he is. Yes. His only loyalty, the only loyalty the devil has, is to his own desire. What is his desire, Pastor? What is the devil's desire? Praise God. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's his M.O. He ain't got no other. That's what he does. Praise God. And we can clearly see this in the case of Job. Praise God. When Satan, praise God, had his eyes on Job. He had his eyes on Job. Praise God. And all the time, praise God, he was hoping that he might get an opportunity. There was something in Job that, praise God, kind of rubbed the old devil there. Praise God. Look at Job 1 and 7. Come on, let's look at that for a minute now. In other words, Satan is the one that brings sickness and disease upon the people. Of course, with God's permission. Look at Job 1 and 7. See, God runs the show. Amen. Praise God. Job 1 and 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord now said unto Satan, Satan to come there with the rest of the brethren. Whence comest thou? Where you coming from, Satan? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, I've been going to and fro in the earth, to and fro, walking up, and I've been walking down in the earth. And the Lord said, well now, have you considered my servant Job? Now God know what he's looking for. He's looking to kill. He's looking to steal. And he's looking to destroy. Now, Satan was given permission, and we know that. God gave him permission. Praise God. Permission to afflict Job with sickness. Now he stipulated that you don't touch his soul. Now you can't kill him. But now I'm giving you permission. Huh? See, previously, the devil said he wanted Job. He wanted to attack him. But now he realized that God had a fence around him. God had angels stationed around this man. And the devil can't get to you if God got his angels stationed around you. Huh? That old devil just told God, if you move the fence, if you clear out the way, praise God, I handle him. And God said, go get him. Just don't touch his soul now. Now, God allowed it for corrective measures to correct something in Job that was very, very detrimental to his spiritual growth and also the message that he was communicating to others through this fault of his. So God allowed the devil, praise God, to correct the fault that was in Job. What was that fault, Pastor? Well, it's the opposite of what God is. God is righteous. God is righteous. He's the only one that's right. Job was self-righteous. He was self-righteous. Matter of fact, we can truthfully say that everything that happens in a believer's life, like sickness and suffering, is with God's permission. But he does it for a reason. For a reason now. If God allowed the devil to come against me, it's for a reason. It's for a purpose. It's for a time. It's for a duration. If God allows it. Listen now. Let's go to Hebrews 12 then. Hebrews 12. Stay with me now. You copy these scriptures down if you can't find them. Copy them down, come back later, and then praise God. God may bless you and give you even deeper revelation. Amen. Praise God. Hebrew 12. Look at 6 there. The apostle says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens. He scourgeth every son which he receiveth. He said, but now in the verse 7, if you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. Well, what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The verse 8. But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you must be a bastard. You're a bastard. And you're not a son. If you're not getting your behind torn out the frame, and you're a Christian, and you're living in sin, you best check yourself out. Amen? See, now, if you're a son of God, saved by his mighty power, and you come to the communion table, with unrepentant sin in your life, God will not spare the rod. God will not spoil his child. He won't do it. He just won't do it. Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119, and we'll look at 67 there. Psalm 119 and verse 67. Now, listen to what David said here. A son of God. A man of God. David said, Before. I was afflicted. I went astray. But now I have kept thy word. Lord, before you put it on me, praise God, I went astray. God corrected him. Praise God. He got the message, didn't he? All God's children, if you're a child of God and you come into the communion table, are living in sin. God gonna correct you. Yes, he will. He's long suffering, so he may, like mama used to do a long time ago, you know, when we had messed up and done something wrong and we expected an immediate whipping, and she just let it go like wasn't nothing going on there. Then all of a sudden one day she'll come, she's feeling well, I guess, and she'll say, you remember when? And she's ready to tear me out of the frame then. Oh, we remember that, don't you? But now, if we continue to take the Lord's Supper, praise God, and you know you're not saved, or if you are saved, and you're living contrary to the Word of God, and God has not chastened you, most likely, you are what Paul called a bastard. You're not a son or daughter of God. Look at Galatians 6 there. Galatians 6, and we're looking at verse 7 there. Galatians 6, and we'll look at 7 and 8. Paul says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. Huh? If you do it in your body, you're going to reap some corruption. Disease, suffering, and eventually death. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Praise God. You're not mocking God. God, you can't. Your arm's too short to box with God. The bed you're trying to lay on is too narrow. It can't cover you. Oh, God. But now, again, for years and years, after being duly warned, I watch people come to the communion table. Yes, I have. And dared God to afflict them. Dared God to kill them. I watched it for years. In their flesh, in their bodies, they committed sins over and over again. All kind of people. And for many, corruptions has already begun. Right now. For others, corruption is the only way. Right now. There's only one doctor. Only one doctor. Praise God, that can help you. Praise God, and his name is Dr. Jesus. Nobody else. None of these brilliant scientists that we hear so much about. What you got on you, honey, ain't no medicine gonna cure. Mister, what you got on you, because you have come against God, you're trying to straddle the fence. You want to be a saved person, but you want to live and hobnob with the world at the same time. Not gonna happen, not gonna work. Now, thirdly, another cause that has brought sickness upon believers, suffering, and eventually death, is self-love. Self-love. Job had a self-righteous problem, righteousness problem. Now, some of you got a self-love. Christians, which ironically is taught by the world today and has infiltrated into the church. This slogan of many of these motivational preachers today is, their slogan is, ask not what you can do for God's glory, but what God can do to glorify you. That's what their slogan is. Huh? It ain't about you glorifying the Lord. God glorifies you, they say. It's all about your blessings. That's all, yeah. Your success, your prosperity. All about that. That's all to talk about, right? Praise God. But you have been told that it's God's will that I have all this. I'm just so great. I'm just so wonderful. I'm just so everything. And God want me to have all this. My brother and sister, let me tell you something. This kind of teachings will bring just the opposite effect into your life. It's going to bring sickness. It's going to bring suffering. Eventually, it's going to bring death, because self-love is idolatry. And God knows, you know, God hates idolatry. All through the Old Testament, God speaks so ill about idolatry and his people into idolatry. You make an idol out of yourself. That's what they're doing today. See, one person is saved, self, the idol self is demoted. He's demoted. And the new man, born again man, the new man, he's elevated to the throne of our hearts. That's what happens when you get saved. Old self is demoted. He's an idol is what he is. He's demoted. And the new born again man takes the throne. See, a good example of this entire process. A good example. Listen to me now. A good example of this entire process. Entire process here is very clearly seen in 1 Samuel 5. You try to turn down a minute. Now turn down a minute. 1 Samuel 5. We ain't gonna really go there, but let me dial up 1 Samuel 5 there. Let's see if we find it here. 1 Samuel 5. Let's look at that now. Where the Ark of God, praise God, which is a type of Christ. Now the Ark of God, it was a piece of furniture called the Ark of God, is a type of Christ, a picture of Christ, is brought into an idolatrous Philistine temple, which is a type of our idolatrous heart. Listen to me now. Now, in the same fashion, when we're saved, when Christ comes into our hearts, when Christ comes to live into our heart, our idolatrous self-life is brought down, demoted, brought into submission to our new life, our new man. Now let's look at it though. Go to 1 Samuel 5. Look at this process. This is what salvation looked like in the Old Testament here. Praise God. Look at it now. 1 Samuel 5:2. It says, and when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they conquered Israel. They took this piece of furniture, which was a symbol, a type of Christ in the midst of the people. And they were not to go to battle without it, because he is our victory. Christ has always been our victory. He's represented with this ark here. It said, when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon. Dagon is their idol god. Stand about 10 feet tall, idol god there in their temple. And they set it beside the ark. Now, just think, they put Christ beside Dagon, their idol god. Put him right beside them. Now go to verse 3. 1 Samuel 5:3. Look at it now. And when they of Ashdod, when the people arose early on the morrow, going to the temple, and check it out. Dagon, their idol god, 10 foot tall, he's fallen upon his face. Every knee must bow. Every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. We see it right here. This idol god, this statue made with hand, done bowed down. He's fallen down on his face before the ark. That's what it says. Before Christ, our Lord. Now what did they do? They took, he says in verse 5, and they took Dagon and they stood him in his place again. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I can understand that. God saved me. There have been a few times I tried to stand that old man back up. I tried to stand him up. I tried to stand him up myself. Praise God. What happened when you try, when you're a child of God and you got a new man in you, he's living, he's on the throne of your heart, and you insist on standing up that old man. What happened then? Look at verse 4. It said, when they rose early on the morrow, I then stood him back up. Behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark. There he is again. He bowed again. Oh boy, in the name of Jesus, every knee was bowed. He done bowed again before the Lord. But this time, the head of Dagon and both the palm of his hands were cut off. The Lord done cut his head off. The Lord, before the Lord, the Spirit of God done cut the head off his statue. He done cut his hands off and laid them on the threshold. And the Bible said only a stump of Dagon was left. That's what happens when you get saved. Now God takes the power from him, all his power from him. The new man reigns in us when we're saved. I have a new man in me, and that stump is still there. That stump is still there. Ain't got no head, ain't got no palms, ain't got no hands, but the stump is still there. And you know, how do you know the stump is still there, Pastor? Well, I knew just last week there. Praise God, a car ran out in front of me. Bam, right in front of me. And praise God, you know, the new man you know, he didn't get a chance to react. Old man already reacted already. Give him a piece of your mind. Tell him something. And I had to tell him, shut up, man. Shut up. You ain't got no power. Praise God, shut up. See, but now the world first embraced this self-love lie. The world did first. Telling the people that in order to be happy, you must first love yourself. Honey, you got to love yourself first. Honey, you got to think highly of yourself. You got to think positively about yourself. That's what you're saying. You know, that's the world there. Praise God. And for the rest of their lives, these people are striving, laboring to please self, to lift up self, to glorify self. And the church has embraced the same self-love, self-will, self-desires, lies that come out of the world. And Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's what Christ says now. Now, praise God, when we love the world, praise God, it leaves us no time, very little time, to worship the Lord. We're so busy trying to help self and to live self. What did Jesus say in Luke 9? Luke 9, 27 here. We just about through. Jesus said here, if any man will come after me, let him what? Deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. That's what Jesus said. See, as believers, we cannot afford to become bogged down in the cares of this life, trying to please our old self. Now, I know I believe it now. Unbeliever, you all self. You don't have no new man. You all self. You're not even aware of any change of positions in your heart and life. But we that are saved, we know there's a new man in us. If any man come out to me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and Christ says, follow me. Praise God. We can't get bogged down in trying to appease self. Praise God. If we let our focus be upon me, mine, and me, the Lord is not going to be happy with that. Somebody going to get a whipping. That's not how the saints of old pictured in their final, in their quest to be like the Christ. They're not pictured like that. Look at the book of Revelation. I'm going to just show you what they look like. What the saints look like here in Revelation 12. Copy down now. If you can't say it with me, Revelation 12 and verse 10. He says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 11 now, key verse, verse 11. He says, and they overcame, talk about the saints now, they overcame him, that old evil devil, by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And they, key verse, key part right here, they loved not their lives unto the death. They didn't think highly of themselves. They were willing to give up themselves. Not like men in the church today, they live for themselves. It's all about them. But now, if you are a child of God, God will not allow that to happen in your life. See, self was not important to the saints of God, and it shouldn't be to us today. Amen? As a matter of fact, we should be following the example of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:31. Most of us know that by memory. Paul said, I die daily. I die daily. He talking about that old man. Take him to the cross. Take that stump to the cross. He ain't nothing but a stump. Praise God. But that stump can keep up a lot of noise. Paul said, I die daily. Galatians 2:20. Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. He said, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise God. That's what Paul said, huh? Praise God. He no longer lived in the flesh, that old man. Praise God. But it's the spirit man. It's the new man. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. Paul again. He said, therefore, if any man be in Christ. If you be a Christian, if you're a real Christian now, you're a new creature. You're a new creature. Got a new man in charge. Old things passed away. The flesh don't rule no more. The flesh don't rule us no more in no capacity whatsoever. Old things have passed away. And behold, everything. I'm a new person. I'm not the same person I used to be. I'm a new man. Oh, stop there. There are residue of the old man in me, yes. But I got a muzzle on him. got duct tape around his mouth. Praise God. Every now and then he squeals, though, but I got duct tape on him. Praise God. Praise God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Praise God. See, self-life and self-will and self-aggrandizements is incompatible with the Christian life. That's all there is to it. Praise God. And you cannot have them both. You cannot have them both. See, but if you insist on having the best of both of these worlds, and you are a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Father will chastise you. Sickness. Suffering. Pain. Eventually death. You got to choose, you this day, whom you gonna serve. Praise God. Will it be God? Praise God. Or will it be self? You got to make a choice. Now, fourthly and finally, as we close now, another cause of sickness in the believers is when it's for the glory. Sometimes sickness is for the glory. For the glory of the Lord. Praise God. Look back at Mary, Martha, and Lazarus again. Look what Christ says here. In John 11 now. John 11 and 3 and 4. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, unto Christ, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. And when Jesus heard that, verse 4, he said, this sickness is not unto death. It's not there to kill him. But for the glory. It's for the glory. He's suffering this for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. What are you saying, Pastor? Some believers suffer sickness for the glory of God. If a believer is suffering from some kind of sickness or ailment, the first thing that person should do is to examine themselves. Ask yourself the question. Is there sin in my life? Have I failed to repent of my sins? Examine yourself now. A believer. Do I give more attention to myself, self-life, that old man, than I do to the will of my Lord? Ask yourself. Now, if after, have I desecrated the Lord's Supper or whatever? Now, if after you have examined yourself, you can come up with a no answer, a no, then you just may have been called in the sickness to glorify the Lord. To be an amazement to all those around you. To testify to those around you. To be a witness to those around you. As you glorify and praise God, as excruciating pain is wrecking your body. But you never say a mumbling word. No complaining. Praising God. Thanking God anyhow. And they looking at you and wonder what in the world is wrong with you. Knowing that the Lord will heal you, praise God, before this life is over. If it's temporarily, or if not, then here on the other side, I'm going to get my healing. I'm going to get my body, my new body. Praise God. See, God allowed sickness and death to come upon Lazarus. He did. He allowed it to come upon Lazarus that his power might be demonstrated. A witness to these people. And his mission might be authenticated through his sickness, and through his resurrection. So it was with Daniel in the lion den. Praise God. Y'all remember Daniel in the lion? What about the three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace? They knew that they had been faithful to God. They knew. They hadn't sinned. They hadn't done anything to deserve what they were facing at this time. No outstanding sin in their lives. And they can only, after examining themselves, they can only come to the conclusion that this was an opportunity. God has given me an opportunity to glorify him. Praise God. Whether he deliver me or whether he don't, I'm going to praise him anyhow. That's what a true believer, praise God, but I'm going to glorify him. So now, what did they do? What did they do after they examined themselves? After Daniel had examined himself and he knew that he hadn't transgressed God's law. What did he do? Praise God. He willingly went there to the lion's den. Went there to the lion's den. That old lion hadn't eaten in 2 or 3 months. That thing was hungry. And they threw old Daniel down in the lion's den. And guess what? Somebody was in there with him. Oh, you think? The one that created the lion was in there with him. Praise God. I can see the Lord right now telling that lion, praise God, you all right, aren't you? Okay, sit down. Lay down. Go to sleep now. Or else he fed him. I don't know what happened, but he told him to just cool. Chill out, lion. Chill out now. And told Daniel, come on, lay down here. Go to sleep now. The lion laid down. Daniel put his head on, laid his head down on his stomach for a pillow. Hmm? Praise God, old boy went to sleep. And old king came. And he worried about Daniel. Said, Daniel, you all right? You all right, Daniel? Praise God. And Daniel said, I'm just sleeping down here, king. I'm sleeping right now. You done woke me up. What you want? What you want? Praise God. But Daniel knew that God was either going to deliver him or he was going to eternally spend his time in the presence of God in just a few moments. The Hebrew boys. Same thing. After examining themselves, they knew they hadn't sinned. They knew there wasn't any particular sin that they had committed to bring this kind of trouble in their lives. So they marched to that fiery furnace. So hot that when the men opened the door, it burned them up. But they threw three boys in there. Right in that fire. Right in that fire. And praise God, the men looked down in there and said, how many we put in there? Somebody said there were three. He said, there's a fourth man in there. And he looked like the Son of God. Guess who was in there? The fire marshal. The fire chief himself. The one that made the fire. And he took the burn out of the fire. And told the fire, don't even leave no smoke on my boys. Praise God, almighty God. God delivered them. But they were willing to glorify God regardless. Now, are you as a Christian willing to glorify God? Praise God, Paul, even Paul, with that thorn in his flesh. Praise God, that thorn aggravated Paul to death. And he knew that he was doing all he could for God. But this was to glorify God. Amen. It wasn't about him being punished. But sometimes your sickness is an opportunity for you to tell the naysayers, let the people around you see how you can be joyful, how the fruit of the Spirit can be exhibited in your life, how you can have the joy, the peace that passes all understanding, joy the world then give you, and the world can't take away. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm getting happy with this. It's good, ain't it? Praise God. Look at 2 Corinthians. I'm going to close out. I'm just going to look at Paul here, then we'll close. Look at 2 Corinthians, and look at 12 there. 2 Corinthians 12. Look at 7 here, Paul, with that thorn in the flesh. And Paul, and it says that, Paul, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation. In other words, Paul, God had given him a great revelation. He said, that was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Satan was allowed to come against him, to buffet me, aggravate me, lest I should be exalted above measure. But it was a reason why God allowed the devil to come against him. Praise God. He was heavy with knowledge and revelation. And sometimes much knowledge, y'all know it, can make you mad. Some of you got a couple of degrees right now. Oh, boy, and you can't touch it, can't hit you with a basketball. Praise God. But now, look what it says in verse 8. Paul said, for these things I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, Paul said, hallelujah, I understand, most gladly now. Therefore, I'm going to glorify God in my infirmities, in my sickness, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Praise God, verse 10, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities. Now, Paul said, I take pleasure in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, long as it's for Christ's sake. Long as I'm glorifying the Lord. But when I'm weak, I can be assured that's when I'm going to be strong. Because God's going to be with me. When God called on us to glorify him in sickness. And he does sometimes. See, in the Lord's army, there are soldiers that are called by the Lord to glorify him in sickness. Yes. And in health. It may be temporary. It may be throughout this life. But that's one thing that we can be sure of. In our weakness, his strength is going to be manifested. He won't put no more on you than you can bear. To you believers that are enduring sickness right now, and it's not because of sin in your life, not because of the Father's chastisement, not because you desecrated the Lord's Supper, but because in this state or in this condition, God has chosen you to glorify him. Do a good job. Do it. Glorify. Remember now, underneath you is the everlasting arm. And the Lord said, I'll never leave you. Nor will I forsake you. Let's bow here for a word of prayer. Father, I bless you today. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the word that was made flesh. I thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity, for calling me. Put your word in my heart, in my mouth. Now, Lord, I pray that you'll speak to the hearts of your people today. Let your word become alive. alive in their hearts right now, Lord, and bring them to a knowledge of Christ. And Lord God, I give you all the praise, all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this is part two. We got one more part, part three. Part three, Lord's will. Monday, probably Monday or so, I'm going to come back again, and I'll give you what the closing conclusion that God has put upon my heart, or will put upon my heart. Praise God. But now, if you like this video today, go over, hit that like button. Hit that like button and go back and subscribe. And when we come again on Monday, you'll get a notification. Praise God. You'll get a notification. Praise God. And I beg of you, share this word. We're fishing with the men. If you're a true Christian, we're fishing, aren't we? And the more hooks you got in there, more poles and hooks you got in the water, praise God, the more likely we'll catch some fish. Now, you take this message here, and you put it on your line, and let others, share it with others, praise God, to the glory of God. And remember now, we're on Facebook, we're on YouTube, and we're also on Sermon Audio. Praise God. But God bless, God keep you, until we come again. May God bless you, and may God keep you, is our prayer.